हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर हरि गौर भक्त वृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 28. Govindabhasya, Purva Paksha. If Brahman, endowed with the subtle Shaktis, is the material cause of the universe of matter and jiva, undergoing various changes unbeneficial to the soul, then at the time of Pralaya, Brahman would also have the same faults, right? Because everything goes back into him. But you, also here you notice the flavor that they put in. Because the point is that their argument is that there's a difference between them. So how can you say there's a similarity? Now when they put in this and they say, Brahman endowed with subtle Shaktis is the material cause of universe and matter, undergoing various changes. Right? So that's the point. But then they throw in unbeneficial to the soul. You understand? You know, it's just like sometimes when you're making a point about something you don't like, and the point's stands, you know, you deal on its own, but you throw in a side thing, you know, some little political, some little social, some little emotional thing, just to give it that, so that's what they're doing. Why would it, if it's unbeneficial, Brahman's, you know, the all perfect, why would it be doing something unbeneficial to the soul? Right? But the point is, why is the soul here? Why is the soul doing unbeneficial things? You know, but you can just see is that we're dealing on the material platform. Because they'll resort to, you know, these little political digs or, you know, the using, what do you call it? Nothingness, the Buddhistic philosophy, this kind of thing. Tattvad means like that. Brahman would be like the material effect, having transformations not beneficial for the soul, since at the time of destruction, everything in the world becomes one with Brahman. So they're saying he's transforming, but they're not taking it that it transforms back. You know, okay, so once done, it can't go back. So God's not in control. He's created, but now he's not in control. You know, you see modern philosophies use the same kind of thing. Right? Yeah. Thus there would be a contradiction. A samanjasam to all the statements of the Upanishads, since they say that Brahman, the material cause, has qualities like omniscience and complete absence of fault. So, since it says that Brahman is like that, then they're trying to show how they wouldn't have these things, omniscience and completely absence of fault, by this process of winding up the creation back up into Brahman. Because right? These faults would go along with it. You know, just like how you say, when you have some dirty place and the sun shines on it, right? And then the sun becomes contaminated, you know, like that. That's their philosophy. So that's the point, is they're not catching the trend. When it says that it's completely, it means that's the way it is. And that's the whole point of that the energies transform in that. So it's not based on our intelligence. Brahman is beyond that. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So they're keeping everything on the material platform because they have an attachment to just the simplicity for them that everything's coming from Pradhan, and they're the controller. Yeah. Though they see Pradhan does everything, so they don't take, they remain as the controller without any responsibility. Right? You understand? So it's that up to date, people, that's what they want. They want absolute control with zero responsibility, zero repercussions. So it's the same thing here. Just they use logic at this time, while before nowadays they use more sentiment. You know? That's all. Does that make sense? So the difference between the impersonal path before and the impersonal path now is before it was basically focused on the culture of gyan, meaning detachment, renunciation, all these things. Well, now it's not. It's based on the culture of sinful fruitive position. All right, but when we say sinful, we meaning not Vedic. But within that sin, they'll take the qualities, right? Because anything you do, you have to use qualities. Well, I'm going to do any action, there's a mental state that has to be there to use it, right? Unless, of course, you're a zombie. Then you don't. That's the problem with the zombies, right? There's no emotional, they don't care, right? So then the point is that there's that emotional state that is used, right? Now, if I'm doing activities that may not be so beneficial, right? But I focus on good qualities while I'm doing that, then somehow or another it's now so much better. Does that make sense? Is that, it's just like, let's say you have, interesting, you have different gangs, right? And so, the gangs, they're out there in their, funky streetwear and not necessarily very cultured in how they deal. They're a little rough and ready and all that. So then that's one group. Another group, they wear their nice suit. They wear their nice hats. They talk very nicely and everything like this. They're both just as dangerous. But you'll consider this one, they're better. They're more cultured. You can discuss. You can... Does that make sense? So that's all it is that if we put a veneer of good qualities on bad action, then it's considered good. So that's all that's happening in these material things, is that they talk about these good qualities. Right? So they're talking about this will be a fault, things unbeneficial to the soul, this and that, and does that make sense? So that's all they're doing. So they're putting that emphasis on that emotional aspect, or the prajumna aspect, but at the same time, is ultimately that aspect is not for anyone's benefit. Okay, Bhagavatam verse reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.7.42. The demigod said, "Dear Lord, formerly when there was a devastation, you conserved all the different energies of material manifestation. At that time, all the inhabitants of the higher planets, represented by such liberated souls as Sanaka, were meditating on you by philosophical speculation. You are therefore the original person, and you rest in the water of devastation on the bed of the Sesha snake. Now, today, you are visible to us, who are all your servants. Please give us protection." Right? So everything goes back into Krishna. That's the whole point. So their thing, they can't go back. He can't make that position. But here the demigods are still respecting. And they work in the government, so they know who the boss is. Okay, Sutra 219. Natu drishtanta bhavata. But drishtanta, instances, illustrations. Bhavat, because of the existence of. There's no contradiction because there are examples of separateness even when in contact. Sutra Prakashika. Here in the Sutrakar refutes the objection that Brahman is prone to adulteration at the time of disillusion, since Brahman absorbs the miserable world. He smartly cites examples of separateness to illustrate Brahman's remaining unaffected and pure even after the winding up of the creation, and thereby proves Brahman as a soul identity separate from Jiva and Prakriti. Sri Govinda Basu. Siddhanta. The word "two" refutes the possibility of objection. There is no contradiction at all. Why? Because there are examples, drishtanta bhavata, to show that Brahman as the material cause remains pure even when in contact with the world as effect. Just as blue, yellow, and other colors remain in their particular place in one picture on one picture canvas and do not mix, so in Brahman the universe remains but does not mix with Brahman. Right? Because they're taking this whole thing of it's all one and all that, so naturally this idea of it mixes. But then the problem with mixing is that means then there has to be the quality and potency of mixability. But if it's all one and doesn't have any variety, then why would there be mixing? Right? Because the idea is that, you know, if it's all one, it's homogeneous. Right? Now, where do we know of a original entity, Pradhan? Exactly. So you can see that's the whole thing, is that's as high as the material consciousness can go. So they can't distinguish between the oneness that's there in Pradhan and the oneness of Brahman. Because Brahman is Brahman and the Shaktis. Because you have Purusha and Prakriti. But Pradhan is just Prakriti. But if the elements aren't there, you know, on their own individually, how do you separate them? Right? So it's not that they become one. The 24 elements are all there, so it's mixed up like a khichdi. You can, if you want, point out, okay, this is rice, this is dal, this is a potato. Right? You know, you can do that. But you look at it as one thing. So that's Pradhan. It's just one homogeneous mass. But it's not that the 24 elements aren't there. Right? So they're thinking of that mix like that. It goes back to Pradhan. So therefore the Buddhists, the Mayavadis, the Shankyas, that it's all the same kind of concept, because the modes of nature will only allow you to think in certain ways. So when you get up to this level, this is what's available. You know, you can say, no, but I'm free, I can do what I like. Yeah, it's like, how is that working out for everybody? Right? So what's always under control, either the senses, you know, the family, the community, the nation, the modes of nature, there's always something that's in control. So there's no such thing as this freedom that people talk about. Yes.
We usually say, when we have general discussions, we say that in persons, by the being of their own speculation, can get up to Brahman. But here we differentiate and we say that actually they can get up to Pradhan.
Because do they ever actually leave the Mahatattva? No.
Even in their understanding.
No, yeah, because see, is that Brahman is Krishna. And so only by Krishna revealing himself can you know him, and that can only be done through bhakti. So since it takes some bhakti to perform the path of jnana, you have to put in that endeavor. So then they can get a realization about the unlimited aspect of Brahman. Right? The eternal and unlimited aspect. So it's only an aspect of sat. Right? They, you know, and then yogis might catch a bit of chit. You know, or there might be this aspect of knowledge, okay, and the soul. But, you know, that's it. That's the maximum they can get. And these are the biggest gods, the most intelligent, the most thoughtful. So for us, that, you know, any of our kids can tell you that. You know? So that's the whole point, is it doesn't get up beyond that. So their actual focus, you can see, is actually on Pradhan, because all of them, every last one of them, if they're not Vaishnav, is the soul comes from matter. Consciousness comes from matter. So actually, that's what they're thinking about. So you can see as here is the attributes they're attributing to Brahman are actually coming from Pradhan, because it's something they can relate to. Because beyond, Brahman's beyond their experience. So all you can experience is the unlimited aspect of Brahman. Right? When the senses come into contact with the sense objects in the appropriate way, according to the laws of nature, and you're focused on it, right? Then you experience the eternal, right? That's what we call a moment, because that's what's being experienced. That's why it's so great. That's why you feel it's bigger than the world. It's the, you know, it's all this kind of jazz, because it's Krishna, and he is unlimited, right? So we, through the universal form, have contacted. It means we're always in contact, but now we're aware of it. And so then that feeling is there. Now, if somebody can express that in some way or another, right? You know, through literature or through drama or through poetry or anything. People saw, and you can give them that experience, and that's something great. So that's what we see is even for the materialist, that something is only valuable when they contact Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Contact means they're conscious, but they don't know it's Krishna. They think it's the matter itself. But if there's not that moment, they don't consider it of value, because it doesn't have any meaning for the soul. And that's all it takes is one moment. Right? It doesn't mean the whole thing has to be like that. Just one moment. You have a book, and if in the book there was a moment, the whole book's worthwhile. But if in that whole thing, no matter how amazing it was, if there's no moment, it wasn't worthwhile. You understand? So all the things that we talk about and what people should do, that's exactly what the karmis are going after. But they don't attribute it to the Lord, they attribute it to matter. So that's where the Maya is. That's what we, that which is not. We think the matter is creating these moments, when it's actually Krishna's Brahman is creating these moments. Right? So there, that's where we see is the confusion will come, is that they'll all have this fault. It's just now a matter of how they go about the fault. You know, what is their position, how much of their position they are, how much is Pradhan, what's exactly the interaction, you know, their concept of the Supreme, what do they have to do with all this. So we see it comes down to this simple Upanishadic formula of what's Chit, Achit, Ishwara, Sadhya, and Sadhana, and Sadhya. You know this, you know the philosophy. Right? Some may complain that, though, what about all these details? But all those details, if you know this, then you know how those details are being applied. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, you put some viscous substance into the pan, you know, according to your choice, right? And then, you know, you put in vegetables and, you know, some spices and this and that, and then you cook it, right? So now, that's the cooking process. Anyone who understands cooking will understand this is what's happening. Right? You appropriately put the heat appropriately, you know, you're mixing it, and depending on what effect you're getting and the combination, you're putting the appropriate balance. Does that make sense? So that's actually what's going on. Now then there's a whole, how much that is. Now you could say, no, but there's so much more. Yes, but that's the variety. That's not the principle. Because whether you cut it big or small or long or cubes or, what do you call it, julienne? Yeah, like that, you know, really fine, like this, or grate it, or smash it, or, you know, whatever you want to do, but the cooking process is going to be the same. But as you do this, it'll make some adjustments. You know what I'm saying? There'll be an adjustment. Like, let's say the smaller it is, you'll have to stir it more often than if it's bigger. You know, because the bigger is less touching, there's more space, it doesn't get as hot, it doesn't stick together. You know, all these little details, but that's... But the point is yes, we can get into that, but if you understand the process, what you're doing, then all these are easy to make sense out of. But if you simply try to memorize all those facts, you still don't actually know what the philosophy is. Does that make sense? So that's why your modern approach, someone, let's say, majors in world religions or philosophy or these kind of things, they still won't actually understand what they're dealing with. They don't understand the core. So for us, when you understand these five things, right, then you actually understand the philosophy. And then how much detail they have, depending upon their scholars and this and that, then they may have volumes of literature to explain those five things. You know. But it's the same thing. Just like for us. You know, it means Krishna is God, right? The Supreme, the Creator, Maintainer, and Destroyer, and He's beyond that, as the original person. We're the soul. You know, he's part and parcel of the Lord, part of the Tattvastra Shakti, expanding from the internal potency. Material world is that expansion of the internal potency is the external, is unconscious matter. Right? Then the process is to be engaged in activities of devotion and hearing and chanting about the Lord's name, form, quality, and pastimes, and the goal is to develop love for God. Now, all of our literature, all it's doing is giving more detail of that. So in the same way, all these other philosophies have their core. All their explanation is only this. Now, this is not a popular approach. You know, like some will say how we're dealing with the classes and the philosophy is different than others deal because of this. We start from that core thing, which is so simple that you could teach a child, literally. And then on that, you're putting all these others and always keeping that contact. So you're expanding out from that original core, but always seeing the connection. You don't get distracted by the detail. And so, therefore, if you want to actually be able to practically apply it, then it's wonderful. But if you want to speculate, it's an absolute nightmare. Because no matter, as soon as you start to speculate, then there's this thing is, no, you can't do that because it's actually connected here. The speculation means I do whatever I want with it. You know, and as long as it sounds logical and I'm using terminology, it sounds like it's the same thing. Is that yes?
Can you speak about this particular 5 points in Gita Patanjali's Samhita? So, there are other philosophies where they have only 4 points. One point is missing. Let us say, you know, the point of Ishwara is missing. They don't have Ishwara in the concept. Something is missing.
So they don't, they don't have the concept of Ishwara. But is it not that, but who's controlling the whole thing?
Ishwara is controlling.
Yes, but in their philosophy, who's controlling? Pradhan is controlling. So Pradhan is in the position of the material energy and the Ishwara. You can't get away from these points.
Okay, so the attribute...
It's just like this. What is that? What color is that?
Grayish.
A grayish. Is there any green in it?
Yes.
And green is made out of what?
RGB. It's a basic prime color.
Yes, but it's blue and yellow, right? So that means there's blue, yellow, and some black in here.
Yes.
So, but it looks like this. Kind of a grayish green. Right? So, the whole point is that all of them are there, but you may see it like this. So the same thing is all these points are there, but they may attribute, you know, so many points to Pradhan. But the point is it's still, there's an Ishwara. You can't not have a controller.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say there's no controller, then they're in control. It's just like, who was that guy? Was it Mayor Baba or something? Who, you know, you shouldn't listen to authority, you shouldn't read books, you shouldn't do that, you should just use your own brain, but you're supposed to listen to him and read his books about how you're not supposed to listen to others and read books. Okay. So it's still the same thing. He says you don't need authority, but he's making himself the authority for you don't need authority.
Krishnamurti.
Yeah. I think it was popular, so he was a big guy, so others also.
Mayor Baba was like, don't lead me, don't follow me, but walk with me as a friend.
How long did it take for him to come up with that? You know, doing meditation and then suddenly it comes to him.
Krishnamurti is like, after the last page of the book, after reading this book, just throw it away. Actually, did not need this book at all.
Yeah, why didn't he open with that statement, right? You know, if he was being honest, he'd open with that statement. And if he was real honest, why is the book being published in the first place? It's not that he thought that and then suddenly, mystically, there was a book there. And not only one book, there was a whole go-down full of them. Like that. So that's what it was saying, the cheating propensity. They all cheat. But it's all the same kind of thing. You know, so you know, the one is on authority, then this one has authority issues, don't lead me. You know? But they don't want to be a leader, you know, because of the trouble that comes with it, so don't follow, but just be a friend. So they're putting it so not on, I'm the controller and enjoyer, but I'm the friend. So his is more on the friend, while the other one is more on the controller.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, they're all going to be on these same things. That's why Prabhupada gives the peace formula, is that verse from Gita. It works for every philosophy. We can say, no, no, but this is different. No, it's just, it combines it. You know, that's all. And so therefore, you know, it's like you have this rock, now you have the floor. It's also that same green. You know, so it's just, you have it, but this one's homogeneous, well, this one's not. You know, this one has that marbly kind of, you know. So that's the whole thing, is that there, all these things are there, because it's Krishna's nature. And the three modes work in their way. And so people may say, no, I'm independent, I'm this, I'm different, I'm unique, but no. It's just like these six philosophies. Every universe, there's these six philosophies. There's not a seventh or only five, no, there's just these six philosophies. Right? These are the building blocks of it. And you see, they all go back to the same things. You know, it's either based more on pessimism or optimism. You know, some more on karma or jnana. So it's all karma or jnana. Like that. But even they're mixed, because I'm the controller and enjoyer. What's the point of being the controller if you're not the enjoyer? And you can't be an enjoyer unless you're the controller. Right? Why would I put in the thing to be controller if I don't enjoy from that? Right? And how will I enjoy unless I'm in control? Right? If you're on this side of the, you know, the glass window, and the cake that looks interesting is on the other side, can you eat the cake? No, because you're not in control. Now, if the door is open, you can get inside. You do have the potency to give them money and then, you know, hands to walk off with the cake. Now you're in control of the cake. Now you can eat it. Right? So that makes sense. But if the shop's closed, you don't have money, you know what I'm saying, you don't have hands, you know, something, then, you know, or you, how you say it? You didn't bring a bag and you're in Portland and they're not going to give you a bag because it's all about recycling, and because you value recycling, you should have brought the bag, so therefore then you can carry it off in your bare hands, but you're not getting a bag. So, you know, it's just a matter of who's in control. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Just as blue, yellow, and other colors remain in their particular place on one picture canvas and do not mix, so in Brahman, the universe remains but does not mix with the Brahman. Similarly, in a living being, the qualities of the body, such as childhood, are discerned in the body and not in the Atma. Or having one eye and other qualities of the senses are discerned in the senses and not in the Atma. Right? So when we discern things, we're not discerning it connected with the Atma, we're discerning it connected with the material nature itself. So the variety is there, not in the Atma. Right? Thus the qualities of Brahman's Shakti, a transformation not beneficial for the Jivas, remain with his Shakti and do not contaminate the pure Brahman. So it's the Shakti that's transforming, so all those potencies are with the Shakti, not with Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Just as with the living entity, all the different varieties in that are with the body, not with the soul. Right? And you see, is the body is coming from the soul, the consciousness, so you get the body. But it's still, all the transformations are with the body. Bhagavatam verse reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.7.26. Daksha addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Lord, you are transcendental to all speculative positions. You are completely spiritual, devoid of all fear, and you are always in control of the material energy. Even though you appear in the material energy, you are situated transcendentally. You are always free from material contamination because you are completely self-sufficient. Right, because you only become contaminated by something, you can't provide that, so you can't, there's that element you can't control. But if he's providing everything, he's in control of everything, so therefore he's uncontaminated by anything. Right? So, footnote 14. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur illustrates that the Lord is the perfect actor and always remains pure, even though situated in an impure environment, the material world. For the purpose of his lila, hence he is distinct from jiva and prakriti. Right? Because jiva is involved in something, he gets attached. Material energy is just what it is. Right? But the Lord, he can deal with both and never be contaminated because he's not attached. He's the source of it. You are pure consciousness alone, devoid of maya. Situated in your sarup, swadamni. Taking the role of a human, you appear to be impure, contaminated with material attachment within maya when taking forms like Krishna or Rama. You alone are the Lord and take the covering of knowledge. Others taking coverings of ignorance, like Shiva, though playing human roles, do not know how to act. Shiva manifests himself as self-satisfied and indifferent to me, his father-in-law, in the assembly. However, hearing of the death of Satyajit, your father-in-law, you went to Satyabhama with Balaram and began crying. Quote, when Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram heard this news, O king, they exclaimed, alas, this is the greatest tragedy for us. Thus, imitating the ways of human society, they lamented, their eyes brimming with tears. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:57-10. Did your nature as Atmarama disappear? Bhagavan alone is expert in all arts. Or another meaning is that Daksha, by glancing scornfully at Shiva, committed offense, and thus, even after the offense was annulled, he had a material conception of the Lord's form. Thus, he says, the Lord takes a human form. However, the real meaning should be understood as follows. Situated in Vaikuntha, Swadamni, you accept the form of the Purusha, creator of the Mahatattva, along with Maya, and reside within the living entities in Maya, Tasyam, as the Antayami. Quote, the wise know the three forms of the Purusha of Vishnu. The first is the creator of Mahatattva. The second resides within the universe, and the third resides within all living entities. One who knows them becomes liberated, Satvata Tantra. The Lord appears to be impure, but is not. Though he is situated within Maya, he is pure since he has no relationship with it. This is the real meaning. Sardartha Darshini 4:7:26. So, he has no relationship with it, though he's situated within it, because that's within him. So it's just a matter of what he likes to do in his pastimes. So since he is the original person, he is everything, therefore he can be involved in it. Right? And be unaffected. Oh, here. Sutra 2:110. Swapakshe doshach cha. Swapakshe, in his own side. Doshat, because of the fault or objection. Cha, and. Shankya is not accepted, for even in the Shankya theory, the same objections apply. Sutta Prakashika. Here in the Sutrakar established that the so-called faults pointed out by the supporters of Shankya and the Vedas are actually applicable to their theory, thereby defeat their challenge. Sri Govinda Bhaskar. Siddhanta, the faults that you as a follower of Shankya have attributed to our view can be seen in your proposition, since these have been refuted elsewhere by us. According to Shankya, there will be difference between the material cause and the effect. For instance, you accept that the world which has sound arises from Padan which has no sound. Because of this difference, you have the same problem with the effect that you oppose in your proposition, right? Because now if Pradhan has no sound, but the material energy has sound, now the whole point is now the creation is manifest. It will become unmanifest. Where does it go, according to their philosophy, to Pradhan? Now, if they're saying because the material world has defect and things that are bad for the jiva, when that winds back up into Brahman, then Brahman will be affected by those. But now, according to their philosophy here, now, if the material nature has sound, when it winds back up into Pradhan, then Pradhan will have sound. So how can they say it has no, how will they maintain it has no sound? You understand? So their own argument against defeats their own. Because generally you'll see as people when they discuss something, they'll discuss according to their own view. Right? And so then it's basically whatever's there you can attribute to them. Does that make sense? So only if you're on the transcendental platform, then there's not a problem because the transcendental attributes are always of value. Right? So that perspective being in connection with Krishna is already perfect. But here, their perspective, because it's not in connection with Krishna, will always be imperfect. Maybe very logical, very developed, be able to answer so many mechanical details up to a point, and then at that point it'll fall apart. So then you take it that this philosophy is more advanced by how far it can be technically explain things. So, since you accept that everything merges into Pradhan and destruction, your objection to our proposition in Sutra 218 is also an objection to yours. The production of the universe also is impossible in the theory of Pradhan, as the ultimate cause, since there is no will in Pradhan, so why would it manifest? Then they have to say the jiva is creating it. But if the jiva is creating it, why would he create something bad for himself? And then why would he be entangled? And why would he have to try to get out? Now, if we use like the Mayavadi say, well, it's just lila, then you would have to play the fault as the jivas are coming up with some pretty stupid lila. Because if everyone's miserable, then why? No, but you're supposed to be in Brahman. But the point is then if it's supposed to create happiness, like, it doesn't make sense. So that will be discussed in a detailed examination of the theory. Right? So therefore, Pradhan has no will. The will can't come from the jiva. That means the will has to come from Brahman. Right? It has to come from the Supreme. And so that means then they're the actual cause of creation. Does that make sense? So, and then why would Pradhan act unless it's being there's a superior energy than having influence? Right? So that means from the Lord, then through His will, the internal potency carries it out through its transformation as an external energy, therefore creating everything here. Mm-hmm. But so it comes back to the Lord's will.
So now they actually this to the jiva. The jiva has the will because of which, you know, Pradhan is, isn't it?
Yes. No, that's always. That means God will be either attributed to the jiva or to Pradhan or both. Because you have all three, so if you understand it properly, you see them as you know, their difference and the sameness. But here they can't tell that, and so then they'll attribute qualities that don't belong. Because that, you know, you have to fill up these spaces. Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. There are two parties, namely the theists and the atheists. The theist, who accepts the supersoul, finds the spiritual cause through mystic yoga. The Shankyite, however, who merely analyzes the material elements, comes to a conclusion of impersonalism and does not accept the supreme cause, whether Bhagavan, Paramahamsa, or even Brahman. Instead, he is preoccupied with the superfluous external activities of material nature. Ultimately, however, both parties demonstrate the absolute truth, because although they offer opposing arguments, their object is the same ultimate cause. They are both approaching the same Supreme Brahman, to whom I offer my respectful obeisances. As we said before, whether they're theists or atheists, they're all in contact with the Lord. The difference is the theists understand that, the atheists don't. So the atheists will come up all their bogus philosophies, but they're all establishing indirectly, if you understand the philosophy, the position of the Lord. Because it's like, unless you enjoy, you're happy, you're something, you're getting something, but that's all the Lord. He's the enjoyment in anything. He's the knowledge in something. He's the working principle. He's the result. He's the experience. So they're always pushing for these things. But they're doing it, they think the material energy itself is doing it. They don't understand the Lord is. Now that's where the weakness is. So even their philosophy we can explain. you know, all the way back. They can't. So that's the point. But that approach is about sense gratification. And so it won't give any real satisfaction to the jiva. Therefore, then, the approach of the transcendental positions. Footnote 15. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur confirms that scriptures on bhakti yoga or shankhya, jnana, aim at approaching the same brahman, but through different viewpoints. These scriptures are in complete harmony with each other. Right? They're in complete harmony when you look at it from the Vaishnava point of view, when you understand these technical points. Why do you criticize the knowers of scripture? They argue because there are different opinions stated in the scriptures. That is not so. Both bhakti, yoga, and jnana, shankhya, perceive the same Brahman, Brihat, without disagreement. In studying these two different scriptures, there is no disagreement. They seem to have contrary ideas concerning what exists and what does not exist. In the bhakti scriptures, the object of worship is described as a person with dark complexion, with yellow cloth, lotus eyes, four arms, holding a bow, club, and other weapons. He has forms, qualities, limbs, associates, and abodes. In the jnana scriptures, the object of attainment has no name, form, qualities, hands, feet, eyes, and ears. It alone exists. But there's no contradiction in these two different objects with different qualities. They both exist within one Brahman. Both processes have Brahman as their object of perception. Mm-hmm. But it's just a matter of whether you're dealing with Brahman or para-Brahman. But how can there be no contradiction or disagreement? The particular qualities of each realization arise from fixing one's faith in the same real object. The form with qualities promoted in bhakti scriptures is a real form, not a false object. The form without qualities promoted in jnana scriptures is a real form. The names and form of the Lord, such as Krishna and Rama, described in the bhakti scriptures, are not forbidden in the jnana scriptures, even though a person may be fixed in that particular realization of Brahman. And so even if he's there, there's nothing in the jnana scriptures that say that you can't chant the names of the Lord, or hear about his name, form, quality, and pastimes. Meditate upon the Lord. Nothing says that. They're just talking about how he has no qualities means no material qualities. So if I say he has no material qualities, he has spiritual qualities, that's not contradictory statements. It's just that someone who's worried about the material aspect, then you focus on the material. He has no material qualities. He's beyond that. For someone who has that faith, then you talk about the spiritual qualities. So, yes.
It was mentioned here before that actually the objective is not different for shankhya and bhakti.
Yeah, you're trying to attain the Lord, but
it looks like that there's this saying that devil is in detail. It means you focus on one thing, you cannot see.
Yes. The point is this: it's all the one. It's all one thing. It's all about the Lord, but it's taking different perspectives, different viewpoints, because the Lord's unlimited. So there's so many viewpoints, but the aspect of what the Shankhyites are talking about, or the Jnanis are talking about, is already included in bhakti. But the bhakti element, though they have to follow it, is in their perspective, is not technically included. So then the result that they'll get from their approach won't be as great as with bhakti. You understand? So even though they may be dealing with the same thing and there's no contradiction, you would follow the bhakti scriptures because then you get the proper understanding. Right? Because then it's whatever's there in jnan, you'll understand that. But if you just study jnan, you won't actually understand the jnan itself, let alone bhakti. So that's why, even though it's the same, you don't get distracted by it. So, yeah. Because that's important, is that, because if one's ekayana, it means that you're focused on the Lord. That doesn't mean that, if you say you're focused on the Lord exclusively, that doesn't mean that there's nothing else around. That means in the environment of so many things that are there, one is only focused on the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So one has to be able to accommodate that there are differences. Though it's all one thing. Krishna is non-dual, but there's differences. And so then you can distinguish that the bhakti path is going to be the better path than the path of jnana. Because bhakti, being the original, already includes karma and jnana. Whatever benefits you can get from karma and jnana, you're already getting in bhakti. But because people get distracted by that, therefore then they focus on that area. You know what I'm saying? You know, let us say, like a person who, they've never had an experience of not having a meal. Right? So, do they spend all day thinking about food? No. Just when it's time for the meal, they, you know, go to whatever's the particular cultural aspects of their environment, then they go to the, you know, that place, and the meal's there. Right? But let's say there's someone who many times there is no meal. So now, even if they're in an environment where there is a meal on a regular basis, they'll still be thinking about it. It'll take quite some time for them to get adjusted to then the meal is always there. Because they'll say, I was here now, but maybe not tomorrow, or, you know, that, you understand? So, the whole point is that you don't have to think about, you overemphasize something because of a particular issue. So the karmis and jnanis will overemphasize, right, these different aspects because of their own issues. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here is that, just like in the scripture, it's talking about the Supreme Brahman. And it's talking about some details like that, but they get distracted by the detail rather than the principle of the quality of Brahman. So, yeah. Because why? They have an issue with faults that are not beneficial to the jiva. Right? So then they'll single that out and then make that as a more major point than it actually is. You know, it'd be just like, let's say, you have a dessert, okay? And then generally the adult arranges the dessert for the child. What would happen if the child had free range on preparing the, you know, dessert? You know? How much whipped cream would be there? Right? It might only be whipped cream. It might be, you know, you won't even bother with the rest of it. Or the amount of sugar, the amount of, it would be insane. The volume, the this, the, you know, they would put so much and just, you know, double, triple what they can eat. You know, the adult knows they'll eat this much. You know, and this is the proportion, and this is how, you know, and maybe someone likes a little more, a little less, that's individual, but not like, you know, one piece of cake and, you know, half a liter of, you know, whipped cream. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is they can't make that distinction. You know? Does that make sense? Or let's say we're having the cauliflower and paneer sabji. It's up to the kids, they just pick out all the paneer. Right? And again, twice as much as they can eat. So that's the whole thing, is that what is important to us, we pick it out and we focus on it more than what needs to be. So when we're talking about activities of action in Krishna consciousness, then we talk, see, varnashram and then that and economics, and we can get into the family, we can... Does that make sense? That comes up because of that. While someone else is in the jnana, then they'll take the other thing. See, we come detached, you have to like that, you have to function like that. Without being detached, it won't work. No, it's without bhakti, it won't work. Does that make sense? So we overemphasize, and that's then what slows us down. That's what the gradual process is that by association and hearing, step by step, you know, day by day, you know, a little bit of our material attachments becomes lessened. you know, until at some point it becomes, you know, that it's been lessened where that it's less is, you know, more, right? This is where less is more. So when there's less material attachment, then there, you know, the devotion is more, the advancement is quicker, everything goes much more smoothly. You know? So if you just keep at it regularly, that's why steadiness is so important. Is that some
sense? Siddhanta Saraswati, he used to say when his disciples were impatient also, like, he would say, step by step you reach the end of the material ocean.
Step by step, yes, yes. Yeah, because otherwise you get impatient and this and that. That's why then you find that's the whole point in the Vedic thing is stability what you're looking for. We may put other qualities. Like I remember practicing mridanga. You get a mantra. And so the first thing you try to do is play it as fast as you can. Because, you know, you see as those who are advanced, they can play the mantra very fast. So playing fast, right, is then taken as the quality to focus on. So you try to play fast and then you can't do it and you stop, then start again and try to play fast. And this way you can go on and let's say you're practicing for an hour, you won't get so far. You'll get something definitely because you are practicing. But then I remember us doing that and then the mridanga teacher came over one time and he says, no, it's not about how fast you play, you play at the speed that you can play without making mistake. So even if that's really slow, play at that speed. Teacher said it, you try it. You're sitting there going, te, 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 ta, te, you know, like that. And you just keep doing that. And, you know, you think it's boring, but then after half an hour, you see it starts to speed up, and then it speeds up so fast, you can play twice as fast or three times as fast as you could before when you tried to play fast. Because it's steady. So that's why it says steadiness is the main focus. That's what dhridhavrata, dhridhabhakti. The steady, the consistent, because that will give everything else.
When?
Soon. Just check it. So the steadiness is the thing. So that's why that's more important. You know, so these modern ideas that like cramming. That's an ineffective method. Because it's unsteady.
What's that?
Cramming. Let's say I have the mother comes into the teenager's room and tells them pick up the room, okay? So they take whatever's there and try to cram it into the drawer or into the closet or under the bed. In other words, it's way more than could go into that space, right? So you're going the whole semester doing nothing. And then for the test, then you cram for 2 weeks, right? Like that. But then, 2 weeks after the exam, I could ask you all the same things, you wouldn't remember anything.
Two days.
Huh?
2 days. Next exam you need to...
2 days, yeah.
Just being... Space for next exam.
Yeah. Then you have to cram again. So that's why the Vedic is steady, right? Just like you notice, do we have, for this course, do we have exams? No, it's based on the steady going through. I think, what's it called? Something. There's a name for it. Most people don't use it, but
Swadhyay.
No, but it's got a name that this style.
Swadhyay.
No. It's a modern academic meaning that continuous assessment. So sometimes they'll give it. You'll get 30 marks for that or stuff like that. For us, it's 100% marks. And the other, you know, said, where's the exam? Where's the this? Where, you know, you got to make it tough. You got to, no, you have to make it consistent. You want it to absorb in. You know what I'm saying? If you put a, you know, it's just like, how you say, the Israeli system of watering, they have these pipes that have little holes in them, dinky holes. So all that's coming out is a drop of water at a time. And then out in the desert, literal desert, they have it green, lush, and, you know, fabulous. because it's a drop at a time. Well, if now you come along and just pour, you know, an ocean of water on the desert, it'll just kind of run off and it'll still be desert. You understand? So that's the thing, is you just keep doing little bit, little bit, little bit, it actually soaks in. Well, if you put too much, it doesn't. You know, it's like drinking water. You drink a little bit of water more regularly, the body absorbs it. You drink a ton of water all at once, it just goes straight through. Yeah, that's another thing. Especially drinking water, right? You know, if it was beer, now that's okay. But water, hey, that'll kill you, right?
So this is actually interesting because it's like approaching aspect of eternity.
Eternity, yeah, 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 because it's just always there.
You're supposed to do it all the time, not just, yeah.
Not just at one shot. Because we're used to, we just put it in, get the result, then we sit back and enjoy. But we're talking, Abhideya is our main thing, not goal, not result. So Abhideya is you're always doing. So that then naturally gives a steady result. And you have to have a particular knowledge and qualities and that to be able to regularly do it. But it's always, it's on the Abhideya as the focus. Does that make sense?
Then you do a little bit and you do a little bit.
As you like. But the more steady it is, then you don't have that in between. You enjoy doing it. Rather than... Yeah. As I say, something.
Every 2 days when it's set.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So then in between, then that's what you're enjoying. You know, it's the balance between if we go more quickly, it means you have to write essays more often.
Yes, yes.
You know, but if we go slowly, you don't go through so much, so you have to get that balance between.
Mm-hmm. When you say about the process and the goal, when you say that the process is important so that we achieve, you know, some intermittent goals, but then that is required because otherwise, how will one get the enthusiasm and the inspiration to go ahead?
So how will you have the enthusiasm to go ahead? If you don't have a goal.
Yeah.
Okay. But did we say there was no goal?
There is a goal, but the focus is not the goal. The focus is on the
yes. So that's the whole point is now, what is the goal? Okay. And then, so now how is that Krishna Prem expressed? So then, if you are performing the process of devotional service, the goal's not there? It's not included?
The goal is
included. And then who does that bhakti? Just any old Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, go down to the dock, look for a guy who looks tough, you know, how you say, you know, a shirt with no sleeves and tattoos, and that's our man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why, he's got the wrong tattoos. Okay, so it's the devotee. So is there not knowledge? Is there not the sambandha aspect there? Yeah. So the point is if you have Abhideya, you're applying it, means you have to have sambandha jnana to apply Abhideya. If you apply Abhideya, you get the result. So if you focus on Abhideya, then you have everything. But if I focus on cooking, do you not have something to eat? Now, if I focus on eating, do you necessarily have some cooking?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's why there's restaurants, right? Because that's the one thing I've noticed in traveling, that every time you go out, you know, go out once a year and that, but you notice over the every time you go, there's more and more restaurants. You know, fashion changes, this changes, it goes in a cycle. But the one thing you notice that before there was one restaurant and then, you know, you're driving 5 minutes in another restaurant. Now it's in one block, there'll be 3, 4, 5 restaurants. You know, but, you know, before it was one, then there's the, it's like, with time, it'll just be all restaurants, you know. They're all restaurants. And now if the restaurant just in the front of it has a place for buying some clothes or buying some other things, then, you know, just that little front part where you walk through, then they'll be complete. You don't need anything else, right?
And Wi-Fi.
And Wi-Fi, yeah, yeah. If you have Wi-Fi, a restaurant, I guess you buy everything on Amazon, right? You just can't buy a pizza on Amazon. Right?
too cold when it comes.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, you know, even if it's, especially if you really like the American pizza, and so by the time they deliver it, it's already been, you know, 10 days. So yeah. Yes. The one place where it's just not going to happen. Right?
Hmm?
They're inventing a printer. A printer which prints food. It has the basic components of food inside it, all of it, and on the sheet it prints food. Warm food.
Warm food. I can't imagine that would be very good for you. Wow.
Yeah.
So then a recipe is actually a computer code.
Yes.
You should be happy with your children.
Yeah, but it'd be pretty. You'd have to have a pretty complicated printer to, like, let's say, make lasagna. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Good luck. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam
379.
Wow, impressive. Only the material forms are rejected. Right? So that you chant the names and all that, that's there, but they don't accept the forms, because it means for the materialist, then they think that the forms are material. Because they're materialists. If you're a spiritualist, then you can understand that there are such things as spiritual form. Right? The Bhakti scriptures also do not worship the universal form, which is also forbidden in the Jnana scriptures. The wise do not accept these two forms of the Lord described by me, since they are composed of matter. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:10:25. That's why we take it all the way back. We understand the universal form because that's the principle of how it's working. But where does the potency for the universal form come from? That comes from Krishna. That's the whole point.
We usually say that the first is the Jnana state, and we take up to the point of liberation is the same.
Yes.
Can we say that the scriptures we use and they use up to that point are also the same?
Basically the same. Yeah, basically. It's just a matter of the emphasis. Means the element of getting out of the material world is the same. But that's where they stop. We go into the spiritual world. So for us, when we're studying how to get out of the material world, we're already studying how to get into the spiritual world. That will be where your difference is. So it's not that only once we're liberated, now we start talking about devotion. We do both at once. So that's why you'll see, we will say what they say and more.
And when we studied that they don't accept the contradictions in the Vedas, and they accept whatever is suitable for them.
Yes.
On what level?
Means they're accepting what's suitable to get liberated, right? Because they'll take the oneness. So, but the point is that getting liberated, the oneness is useful. Right? But they also accept difference, means the soul is different from matter, Brahman's different from matter. That aspect of difference. But they don't accept the spiritual difference. They'll accept the difference between matter and spirit. So, to break the attachment to the material world will be the same process. It's just that we'll go further. So, okay. Meditation on this form is recommended only for some persons in the initial state for purification of the heart, and not for all types of worship. Thus, the Bhakti and Jnana scriptures are not contradictory. Those who argue over differences in scriptures, not knowing the real conclusion, are condemned. Sardartha Darshani 6.4.32. Right, so They're not appreciating actually what's going on, because they don't know the real conclusion. They may not have knowledge, but they don't actually understand the real conclusion. That will be the difference. So only Vedanta actually gives that difference, the Vaishnava Vedanta. So then they can see that they're not contradictory. So that's the meaning of Anuchana, is that you don't see the contradiction. So that means for Anuchana, you have to be on the platform of, it's the conclusion that's important, not the detail. That's why you can see the universality of all the things and the connection between them all. So, yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.7.9. Shri Maitreya said, certain conditioned souls put forward the theory that the Supreme Brahman, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is overcome by illusion or Maya, and at the same time they maintain that he is unconditioned. This is against all logic. Footnote 16. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Maya and Jiva arise from the Lord, and without beginning are inseparable from the Lord, but by Sarup they are different from the Lord. This Maya, which belongs to the Lord with inconceivable powers, Bhagavata, and which cannot be known by logic, Nyayena, this energy being Achit by nature, belongs to the Lord who is purely spiritual, or Chit. The gunas such as Sattva also belong to the Lord, but Bhagavan in his Sarup is without these gunas. Similarly, the sun, though pure light, possesses clouds, darkness and snow, which are unfavorable to light or fire, because it's the sun that creates these. Just like in the morning, you notice that many times just before it starts to get light, there's a breeze. That's the effect of the sun, that it starts to move across, and so the heat and then the cold air from there from the night, then it starts to move. So the sun creates that, because the sun is evaporating the water. Therefore, there's clouds. Mm-hmm. You understand? So all these things may be unfavorable for the light or for fire, but they're all produced by the sun. Mm-hmm. But the sun doesn't have those. Sun doesn't have clouds. Sun doesn't have... Just as water arises from the sun and enters the sun, and just as animals and plants arise from the earth and enter the earth, the world made of gunas arises from the Lord and enters Him. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.31.15. O King, just as clouds, darkness, and light appear and disappear in the sky in succession, the energies of Rajas, Tamas, and Sattva appear and disappear in the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.31.17. Because they're His potency, so they appear in the Lord, but He is unaffected by them. So... But although the consciousness of the Lord, who is the Supreme, one without a second, is never affected by material desires, by the reactions of material work, or by the constant flow of nature's modes, ordinary persons nonetheless think that the Lord is covered by His own creations of prana and other material elements, just as one may think that the sun is covered by clouds, snow, or an eclipse. Because from here it looks like it's covered. So if you say the sun is covered, that means you're here. Right? Does that make sense? Because you can't be there. You will never say that. You go up in an airplane, you go above the cloud, you'll never say it's covered. So it can be raining, snowing, dark, the sun's always out. So that's the thing, is that, so these kind of philosophies where they attribute material qualities to the Lord is those who are here and are seeing through the modes. So because they see through the modes, they think the Lord has these things. You know, it's just like if you're wearing glasses that are colored, you see everything in that color. Right? These verses show that this is beyond logic. Thus, the action of creating the universe takes place by Maya, an energy of the Lord, whereas the Lord is without change in His Sarup. Because of non-difference between the possessor of Shakti and the Shakti, it can be said that the Lord creates the universe. Right? Does that make sense? So, gently means this is the main point. Occasionally you'll hear where it's being discussed about how the energy itself is creating all these things. But we're always understanding that in connection to this Lord is, this energy is the Lord's energy, and so therefore, by His will, it's being happening. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, by the chauffeur is driving the car according to the will of the guy in the back seat. You know, you can say no, but he's driving the car, so he's the main guy. No, it's the guy in the back seat's the main guy. Because if he's not there, there is no car, there is no driver.
Like Brahma Sunita is telling, Lord's Chaya, and Lord is moving, and the Chaya is Durga.
The Chaya is?
The shadow.
Is?
Durga Devi.
Durga, okay. I thought you said like Garuda. Durga. Okay. What's the position of three gunas? For the atheists, I don't even know if they know. It means, okay, well, Vedic, okay. Is that it's just the workings of the material nature. So it's something that's coming from Pradhan. It's coming from the material nature itself. Because they don't see beyond that all this comes from the Lord. It's just like you see the shadow and don't see the person. You know, and you see the shadow goes, it gets longer, shorter, it goes over things, it changes shape because, you know, there's a bush there or something. So it says transforming and all that, but the person is not transforming, so they can't be the source of this. Prakriti is the cause of the material, quote, Prakriti is the material cause, the Purusha is the foundational cause. Time, the indirect cause, is agitator of Prakriti. I am all three. Right, so here Purusha is then would be Mahavishnu. But Krishna is the source of all three, Prakriti, time, and the Purusha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:24-19. Thus, the doubt concerning the Lord has been resolved. The second line and the next verse resolve the doubt concerning the jiva. Though the jiva has the capacity, Ishvarasya, for realizing his form of knowledge and bliss, and thus can be freed from contamination, Vimuktasya, he is in a condition of deprivation, Karpanyam, or Durbhagatvam. Thus the jiva is in a state of bondage. This is because of Maya, which here means avidya, or ignorance, a function of Maya. These two, ignorance and bondage, are mentioned as the cause. Right, so avidya is a function of Maya. Right, because you have to be in, what does Maya mean? You're ignorant of your relationship with the Lord. So that means as soon as you are ignorant of your relationship, you come under the control of Maya. Right? Because that's where that potency comes from. Right? Does that make sense? That's what it means by one glances across to the other side. Because that means then, this side means you see everything connected to Krishna. But now, only in Maya is there the avidya that the Lord's not involved. So you're saying the same thing, but you're not seeing it here connected with the Lord, you're seeing it there not connected to the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's why then they're seeing the material world. Right? While you see someone from the spiritual world, they come here, they see everything in connection to Krishna. They only see the spiritual world. This is an inferior part of the spiritual world. You know, meaning Brahman is all Krishna's. Right? So they can distinguish between the superior Brahman and the inferior Brahman, but it's all Brahman because they all see a connection with the Lord. So they're always on the spiritual platform. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.13. The purport continues. Oh. Wow. Oh, it continues all the way down. The meaning is this. The meaning is this. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura ki.